Genesis 2, beginning in verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Whatsoever Adam called every living thing, was that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for being the creator of this institution of the family, of marriage. And God, how good you are to supply so many of us with that blessing in our lives, presently or in the past. We ask, Father, that you would help us, to encourage us to treasure that gift and that blessing. We ask, Father, that you would help us to not only treasure it in the sense as we interact with our husband or our wife, whatever the case might be, and in our family and amongst others, we ask that you would also help us to be the shining example that is so needed in our world today. We pray, Father, that you would, as you know all hearts, minister to the needs of each heart and this message. May you lead these lips to speak the truth that is in season for this hour. We ask now that you'd hear me. Well, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. See the phrase there in verse 25, the man and his wife. This is another one of those subjects. You know, we dealt with the murder of the unborn. It's a very basic, fundamental issue of the family. And this is another very fundamental issue. Man's depravity has gone in such a rapid direction of expressing their depravity publicly and unashamedly in the most absurd and destructive ways in our day today. That which would have been common sense not too long ago has been tossed out the window as being not being progressive enough or tolerant enough. They say we should celebrate diversity. Well, I agree to celebrate diversity, but I'm not going to celebrate perversity. Amen. And what they call diversity is nothing but perversity. Amen. You know, the thing that gets me is they say, celebrate diversity. But they don't want to celebrate the fact that we're different and celebrate our diversity. That's a little hypocritical, isn't it? But that's no surprise in the days that we live in. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Brother Packard mentioned this at the nursing home. He's talked about the last of the last days. And that's indeed the time in which we live. But it says this, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I shared on Facebook in regards to a situation that some of you may know about where Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." The sad thing is, so many people are insistent on being enslaved in bondage. They're so insistent that they're going to be in an eternal prison house of bondage and hell forever. They wouldn't know the truth if it hit them in the nose. But such were some of you, weren't we? We were all there. May God use His Word to bring people to the blessing of being free in the truth. I want to first start out this message on the man and his wife. And what a man's wife is not. I want us to notice verse 20 of our text. Amongst all of creation, it says this: "And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him." Animals are not biblical helpmeets. I shouldn't even have to say that. But we live in a day today where that kind of nonsense and disgusting nonsense is a reality. More and more in our day today. Our day is marked with an increase of such perversity. In fact, it is an issue that was really in the Old Testament we see it. If you look over there in Exodus chapter 22. Exodus, the next book over, in chapter 22. And notice there in verse 19, it says, "Whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death." That's how serious God takes it. Now, someone who would engage in relations with a beast or animal like they would with their wife or husband deserve the death penalty. And then we got some people wanting to get married to their dog. That's sickening. It's just sickening. Deuteronomy chapter 27, a few books over. God tells us in no uncertain terms. Deuteronomy 27, verse 21, "Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say, Amen." That is once more God's perspective, God's prerogative, God's commandment. And then again, going back one to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. And we notice there in verse 15, notice the Scriptures tell us, again in no uncertain terms, And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Animals and people are different. You know, chromosomes are thread-like structures that are located in the nucleus of a human, a plant, or an animal cells, and each chromosome is made up of a protein and a molecule of deoxyribonucleic acid, or DNA for short, and is passed on from the parents to the offspring. And the DNA contains certain instructions that make each living creature unique, each species unique. And God has created it that way, making a distinction. The term chromosome comes from the Greek words for color, chromo, and body, soma. And scientists gave this name to chromosomes because their cell structures or bodies that are strongly stained by some cultural dyes used in research. In fact, each species of plants and animals have a set number of chromosomes that distinguishes them from other parts of creation. Now, some of them have the same, but there is a distinction amongst the various species of animals. A rice plant has 12 chromosomes. A dog has 39 chromosomes. The apes have 48 chromosomes. And humans have 46. We don't mix medically, scientifically, or biblically. There's something different. Matter of fact, it's so unnatural that Leviticus chapter 18, verse 23 calls it confusion. It's confusion. Matter of fact, you want another thing that indicates God's displeasure in this, in that you cannot produce any offspring. There's no way. There's no such thing as a half man, half beast. Now, the evolutionists might think so, but we're waiting for the evidence, the missing link. It's just not there. But bestiality essentially denies the uniqueness of humanity, because it is only mankind that is made in the image of God. No other creatures are. That distinguishes us from the rest of God's creatures. Bestiality lowers humanity to nothing more than a beast, and a beast is unable to distinguish between right and wrong, between natural and unnatural, between love and lust. Besides all that, we find that in the New Testament it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 38, it says, "But God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased Him. And every seed of his own body, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds." There's a difference between the species. And then in Jude chapter 1, and that's another interesting thing. You don't see any evidence whatsoever of species jumping across over to another species or anything halfway in between. There's no evidence whatsoever to that kind of evolutionary nonsense. But it says in Jude chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. In other words, that they think you can just live any way you want to and still be a Christian, which is a lie. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate. Angels are another species, interestingly enough. But left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains in the darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah. So they interacted with human beings. And then it says, had sexual relations, even as Sodom and Gomorrah. Making a comparison here. And the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, that is, all kinds of sexual sins, and going after strange flesh. In other words, unnatural flesh, which could involve sodomy, could involve bestiality, could involve all kinds of perversity. That's the thing, when people start going down that road, they usually get worse and worse and more perverse and more perverse. It just starts. It's just like a lot of times when people engage in drug abuse. They start out marijuana and then they go to harder drugs. That's the typical course of things. It's like cancer. It doesn't just stay the way it is. But it grows and it gets worse and it gets bigger and becomes eventually deadly. The same with this sin. It's unnatural that going after and strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. That's the way God sees it. Not only does it deserve a death penalty, not only are they cursed, but they are suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Eternal damnation in hell forever. There's nothing to sneeze at. And the thing that gets me is when they try to make us shut up. Well, they're as loud and bold about their perversity. Why don't we speak up about these things? Some of these animal lovers are simply sick perverts. They love animals more than they love people. But what a man is, we've seen what a wife is not, but what a man is. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Created he them. You know, a man can call himself a woman all day long, but that doesn't change a thing. Have all the operation he wants to have, plastic surgery, whatever he wants to have. But did you know, according to the creative order, that person's DNA and his genetics, he will always be a man. And you're not going to be able to change it. Males have one X chromosome and one Y chromosome that distinguishes them from a woman. Even if they could alter something like that, what would it be? Unnatural and artificial. Therefore, abominable in the sight of God, and judgment would be set for that person who would continue in that perversity. Again, these kinds of perversities are examples of the last days in which we live. It is what vomited the inhabitants of Canaan before Israel came in. That was part of the reason why. Because of those kinds of abominations. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5 says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." Chris and I were talking not too long ago about transgenderism is really a misnomer. It's an untruth. It's a lie. Because you can't go from one gender to another. We used to call it, when we were growing up, transvestitism. The changing of vesture or the changing of clothes. And that's exactly what this verse is talking about. As a matter of fact, it's also referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 when it talks about those who are effeminate. Wearing those kinds, you know, the Milton Berles and the Don Knotts were some of the first people who began to publicly dress as women. And they did it under the guise of comedy, with canned laughter in the background, as Hollywood often does to get our guard down. And it worked with me when I was growing up. I didn't think anything of it. Now it makes me sick to see it. Sodomy, bestiality, transvestitism, bisexualism, they're all abominations before the holy God who made heaven and earth. And such will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. A man's not born female organs and is made to reproduce with a woman alone. But then now, thirdly and lastly, what a man's wife is. Well, we have other scriptures besides what is in our text. We find in Genesis chapter 5, it says, "Male and female created He them and blessed them." And then Jesus says in Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, referring to these Old Testament scriptures in Genesis 1 and Genesis 5, "And He answered and said unto them, Have ye not read?" That's a good question that we need to ask. Have you not read? What saith the Scripture? That's some other good questions in the Bible. "That He which made them in the beginning made them male and female." Very elementary. And yet, like I said, people are just tossing that common sense out the window today. A woman can also call herself from a man all she wants to, but God created her with certain genetic characteristics in her DNA. Females have two copies of the X chromosome. A man doesn't. He has that Y chromosome. That's the difference. A woman is made to reproduce with a man. A man's wife is a woman. To go against these principles in God's Word is to go against science, to go against nature, to go against our Creator, and to go against common sense. You know, we're living in crazy times when people are calling us bigots and old-fashioned, and they're the smart ones. The perverts of our day, again, are not ashamed to boldly speak forth their filth. God forbid that we be silent on these issues. And I get, you know, there's all kinds of, we're just talking about the murder of the unborn. And there's all kinds of ways you can tell people verbally, you can write it on paper, you can put it and share it on Facebook, you can do all kinds of things, all kinds of ways available to us at this particular window of opportunity that we have today. Let's let it be known. The news media would have us believe, oh, it's normal. Everybody's doing it. Well, let's just tell them, no, that's not the case. I'm one of them that's not one of the everybody that's supposedly doing it. And there's a whole lot of others. Proverbs 24:10 says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You know, God deserves a whole lot better out of us than to be quiet when they're being so loud and obnoxious about their lies and their perversions. Matter of fact, Isaiah said, in his time, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Because that's where it all starts. You can't baby them and stroke them and coddle them and say they're okay. You're not really loving them then. You're really loving when you tell them the truth. Speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. But speak it. Because again, they're not going to be set free unless they hear the truth. Matter of fact, it's an awful thing that awaits such people. There in 1 Corinthians 6:9, I mentioned a little while ago, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. We have very similar scriptures there in Romans chapter 1 as well that speaks along the same lines. Now, Isaiah still, he speaks out in his evil day and he says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And that's exactly what's happening today. Woe unto them. How our world needs to hear the truth about this, these very basic matters, and that we have the word from the Lord to tell them, to guide them in the truth. Again, such were some of you. These kinds of things, maybe not that exact particular sins that I've focused on this afternoon. But were it not for the grace of God, you would be. You would have been. Wouldn't you like somebody to tell you about the truth looking back? Aren't you glad God led somebody to move in their hearts to share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share with you that you're a sinner and you needed the gospel of Jesus Christ? True joy and true peace and contentment will only come through Christ and abiding in His Word and the beauty of holiness. People are looking everywhere but to the Lord. So many. So many. They're trying to find joy and satisfaction in this world and flesh and what do you hear? You hear these same people committing suicide, killing themselves. They bought into Satan's lie, and they buy into Satan's lie. Well, let's just end it all. And Satan won with that person. Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy people. I tell you, this world misses out on the blessedness of being in harmony with the creative order that our good and gracious God has ordained. They're missing out. They act like we're missing out. May we never ever convey that to them, that we think we're missing out. They're the ones that's missing out. So my challenge to us is this, not only to have God's Word ready to speak against these kinds of things and those that God may bring across our path, to be able to speak to them the Word of truth, but as biblical families, We need to be a shining example of God's design for the family. The others will see our good works and glorify the Father in heaven. They might not listen to you, but they can't argue with a happy family. They can't argue with that. They're dumbfounded. They have no argument. And sometimes that's the door that God uses so that you can speak to them. They see that what you say, that you live what you say. God has blessed you because you have followed the Scriptures. May God help us. Yes, it disgusts me, some of these things I had to mention. And yes, it makes me angry that this kind of stuff is going on. More because it's dishonoring my God. But let's don't ever get prideful about where we are. And let us always be ready to speak the truth in love to those who are in bondage to these sins. I'm going to ask now that we would close with a word of prayer.